Hey guys, thanks for tuning in today. You know this message that you're about to hear. I pray that it not only inspires you, but encourages you to follow Jesus even more. In fact, there are probably people in your life who need to hear this timely word. Chances are you're thinking about them right now. Share this message with them. And listen, if you're watching on YouTube, let me encourage you to hit subscribe, stay tapped in. You know, I also want to take the time to thank all those who support us. We wouldn't have any ministry outside these four walls if it weren't for our friends who come alongside us in prayer and supporting us financially. You know, there are thousands who are benefited by this ministry because of your giving, and we thank you. To continue or to even start supporting our mission to help others and their families follow Jesus, you can give by visiting cfmiami.org/give. We also wanted to update you on something important. Recently, our on-demand services will be available starting Sunday evenings. To catch the entire service, be sure that you're logging onto our live streams when we begin services Sunday morning at 9 a.m., 10:45 a.m., and 12:30 p.m. Otherwise, you'll be catching the service midway through. Enjoy this sermon.
Well, hey everybody, it's Pastor Omar here. And earlier this year, I introduced to us a brand new initiative called Be a Blessing. And what Be a Blessing is all about is that we would come alongside different families in our city who are hurting, who are under-resourced, and not only serve them once, but serve them throughout the year at various times. So for example, at the beginning of the school year, we would provide for their children backpacks full of school supplies and also raise money through Caring for Miami to ensure that they're fed through the entire school year. During Thanksgiving, we would come to the same family and bring a Thanksgiving meal so that they can enjoy Thanksgiving just like you and I. During Christmas time, we would also come alongside of them and ensure that their children have gifts so that they can experience the same thing that our children experience and provide any other things that they need during the holiday season. And even into the new year, even up to Easter time, listen, we would come alongside of them, and if there's ever a need, if there's ever a tragedy that ensues, they know that there's a group of people that loves them, prays for them, and is there to support them. And so I want to take the time to update you on where we're at on Be a Blessing. You all ready? All right. So up to this point, you have signed up to minister to 342 different families. Amazing, right? And not only that, but we've been able to raise over $61,000 to ensure through Caring for Miami that they have food through the entire school year. And so listen, if you are a small group that signed up, or maybe an individual family that you signed up for Be a Blessing, thank you so much for rising to the challenge and being part of this amazing initiative. I am so confident that God's gonna use you throughout the year to not only meet their physical needs, but more importantly, their spiritual needs. And by the way, if you signed up, in the next few weeks, you're gonna get an update and all the information of your specific family so that you can begin to reach out to them and begin to form that relationship that will go the entire year. Now, if you're a small group or a family, an individual family that has enough resources to bless another family, but you have not signed up yet, listen, it's not too late. Simply go to cfmiami.org/beablessing, fill out that form, and then we will get in touch with you and get you squared away, all right? Well, in Christ Fellowship, thank you so much for your passion and your love for the Lord. It shows in the way that you rise up to the challenge and that you want to be a blessing to so many families in our city, all right? Love you all.
Hey, don't you love singing to a God that will never fail you ever? Can we praise God today? Amen. Man, what a joy it is to hear you worship our God. Hey, well, welcome everyone at all of our campuses. My name is Omar, and I have the honor and the privilege of serving as lead pastor here at Christ Fellowship. And today we are on our third week of a series called Set Free that we've been going through the book of Exodus. And today we're going to be learning about how God sets you free so that he can use you to set others free. And so, man, I'm looking forward to diving into God's word. I hope you are as well at all of our campuses throughout Miami and online. And so wherever you find yourself, let's open up our Bibles to Exodus chapter 2, verse 23 to 25. And you can follow along with me as I read, all right? Listen to what God's word says. It says, "During those many days, the king of Egypt died. And the people of Israel groaned because of their slavery and cried out for help. And their cry for rescue from slavery came up to God. And God, what's the next word, church?
Heard.
What is it?
Heard.
And God heard their groaning. And God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God what?
Saw.
God saw the people of Israel, and God knew. In other words, when his people are suffering, God does not overlook the suffering of his people. Amen? That is God's word. You can go and take a seat, everybody, at all campuses. And folks, let me start off by sharing this with you. You know, back when I was at the University of Miami, I remember that professors would always ask us to be part of research projects and to study different things. And so I remember walking on campus and you would see a group of students and they were doing something with a professor regarding a research project. Now, folks, follow me here for just a moment. Because back in 1973 at Princeton University, two psychology professors, Professors Darley and Batson, wanted to test how likely it was for people, get this, to notice the sufferings of other people. And so here's what they did. They'd approach a group of people that in their mind, for sure, would never overlook the suffering of other people. And they decided to approach a group of seminary students at Princeton who were studying theology, because surely they would never overlook the sufferings of other people. Now, and folks, here's what the study entailed. They asked 67 different students to deliver a sermon on the parable of the Good Samaritan. Y'all know the parable of the Good Samaritan, right? To another group of students on the other side of campus. But folks, here is what they did not tell these students. Is that along the way, as they would be walking to the other side of campus to teach on the Good Samaritan, the professors, the researchers, had placed a man who was obviously in a bad situation against a door, and he had his eyes closed, and he was moaning, and evidently he was in a place of suffering. And so they wanted to see not only how, you know, whether they were in their hurriedness, if they would stop, but if they would stop at all. And folks, you would think, and so here's what happened. For the first group of people, the first group of students, they told them, listen, you are a little late, but go make your way to the other side of campus and those students are waiting for you. And so those students left and they went to go teach on the parable of the Good Samaritan. The second group, they told them, listen, you are just right on time. So go ahead and leave and they'll be waiting for you. So the second group left. And the third group, they told them, listen, you are a little early, a few minutes early, but still make your way over there and then go and teach on the parable of the Good Samaritans. And folks, they were expecting all of them, if not a vast majority of them, to stop and minister to the suffering man on the way to teach on the parable of the Good Samaritan. And folks, you wanna know how many stopped? Okay, so for the first group, when they left, only 10% of them stopped to minister and to serve the suffering man. For the group who was on time, less than 45% of them stopped to help this man. And for those of us who had plenty of time, who were not in a rush, slightly over 50% of them stopped to even acknowledge the man who was suffering. And folks, here is what the researchers realized. That even though, yes, how hurried a person is has a factor in whether they overlook the suffering of somebody else, the greater finding that they were shocked was that humanity's propensity to overlook the suffering of other people. In other words, there is something in us, in our sinful nature, that either ignores or refuses to acknowledge when other people are suffering. And folks, let me just bring that over to our teaching for today, because it's so easy for us to impose that type of view on who God is towards us. And by that I mean that just like it's easy for us, right, to overlook the suffering of other people, listen, just like that, and here's the main idea for today. Folks, there are so many people in this world that view God as a God who ignores their suffering. In other words, that God is just like another seminary student, like one of these seminary students, who as he's just going about his life, he ignores and overlooks when people are hurting and when people are suffering. In fact, one of the greatest and the biggest objections of people about the existence of God is that if God was so good, why doesn't he help have a desire and help people who are suffering? Why there's so much suffering in this world? And who knows, maybe you walked into one of our campuses today, or maybe you're watching online and you're sitting here and you're for the first time, or maybe you've been coming for a while and you are going through suffering yourself. Maybe it's a marriage issue, financial issue, uncertainty, school issue, whatever the health issue, whatever the case may be, you're wondering, does God overlook my suffering and does he even care? Well, folks, we're gonna find out today from Exodus chapter 2, all right? So if you have your Bibles, let's turn to Exodus chapter 2 at all of our campuses. And today, folks, I have three important thoughts for us to know when it comes to God and suffering. Christ Fellowship, are you ready at all campuses? Let me hear you, come on. Yeah. All right, you're gonna be cheering for those Dolphins in a few hours, so I wanna hear you today, all right? So write this down as point number one. And that is that God sees and knows the suffering of his people. Now let's go to the passage for today and listen to what it says. It says, during those many days, the king of Egypt died, and the people of Israel groaned because of their slavery and cried out for help. And their cry for rescue from slavery came up to God, and God heard their groaning. And God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God what?
He saw. Yeah,
and God saw the people of Israel, and God what?
Knew.
And he knew. Now, folks, stop right there and slip into the scene for just a moment. Because last week we saw that Moses, at 40 years old, right? If you were here last week, you remember, he had a defining moment in his life where he completely rejected the fleeting pleasures of sin in Egypt and began to pursue God with everything. He sided with the people of God. Now, that was at age 40. Now, between last week and this week, in just a span of just a few verses, now we fast forward another 40 years. And so now Moses is no longer 40, he's 80 years old. And he's married by now, he has a wife, and he has two children, two boys. And folks, during this time, Pharaoh that Moses fled 40 years ago, by now he's long gone. And now another Pharaoh has come to power. And that Pharaoh most likely was Moses' cousin. Remember, he was adopted by the daughter of the Pharaoh, so most likely he knew the new Pharaoh that was in power. But during this time, listen, the suffering of God's people began to increase. And listen to what happens next. So Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian. And he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And then notice what it says here. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. And when the Lord saw, and when the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, "Here I am." Then he said, "Do not come near. Take your sandals off of your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground." And he said, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob." And notice what it says. And Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. Now, folks, when many people think of this portion of scripture, many people think that God just spoke, right? It was only his voice that spoke forth from the burning bush. But if you really notice that it says that the angel of the Lord, and that phrase is used a lot in scripture, appeared to Moses in the flame. And so many suggest that this is another appearance of the pre-incarnated Christ in the Old Testament, which we call the Christophany. You know, many of us may think, well, the life of Jesus started the moment he was born as a little baby in Bethlehem. Listen, I always remind you, that's not when the life of Jesus started. He's always existed. He was the one who spoke the world into existence, the second part of the Trinity, back in the book of Genesis. And throughout the Old Testament, he makes appearances. And this is one of example where God, the second part of the Trinity appears to man. And folks, and the reason for that is because if you notice, it says that Moses hid his face for he was afraid to look at God. And so it's evident that he knew who he was seeing. And folks, here is what God is going to reveal to Moses and to us. Write this down, letter A. And that is that God is determined to set his people free from suffering. In fact, listen to what happens next. It says, "Then the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. And I know their sufferings. And I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and bring them up out of that land to me, to a land, a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey." And so folks, here God is revealing his determination in his character to set his people free from suffering and oppression. You see, he was not going to let them stay suffering, but rather to bring them out because he is a God who acts, amen? That's the God he is. And folks, in the same way, listen, just like people are suffering, there's people today in this city that are suffering. And that a group of people that God has a plan for their life, that God has already chosen them unto salvation, and that they are currently in suffering. They might not even know God yet, but God has a plan for their life, and he is determined to set them free from that suffering. Can I get an amen to that? Yeah. But folks, here's what we're gonna learn. Write this down as big number two. That God uses, don't miss this, that God uses those he set free to set others free.
Amen.
In fact, listen to what the Lord tells Moses now. He says, "Come and I will send who?"
You.
Yeah, I will send you to Pharaoh that what?
You.
That you may bring my people, the children of Egypt, of Israel, out of Egypt. And folks, here, when you start thinking about this, here's something that really amazes me about God. That God could have easily gone himself to Pharaoh and confronted Pharaoh. Now think about it. God himself could have appeared to Pharaoh and confronted him one-on-one, right? He could have done that, or he could have sent a legion of angels to confront all the people of Egypt and deliver his people out of slavery. But instead, he calls Moses to do this, somebody who he already set free from Egypt. And folks, listen, God does not change. God has not changed in 3,500 years because he still does the same thing today. Amen? Listen, God has designed it that the way that he is going to set people free today from suffering, from oppression, from sin, is not by God personally appearing to people in their lives. He could have easily sent angels throughout the world. That's what they do. They do God's bidding to every person and share the gospel with them and rescue them from sin. He doesn't do that. Instead, what? The Lord does something very unique. He uses people who he already set free from sin and suffering to go to those who are still in bondage and lead them out of that. Amen?
Amen.
And you may be thinking, well, why would God do that? You know, if you were writing the script, right? Even before, you would think that God would just do it himself. Why would he use us sinful people to do that? Because listen, God knew in his infinite wisdom that yes, he would be glorified if he himself did all the work. But he knew in his infinite wisdom that he would be more glorified, that he would be even more revealed when he uses people who he set free to go back and set free people from suffering and from sin.
Amen.
And folks, here is where that leads us to. Write this down as big number three. And that is that God wants you to join him in setting people free.
Amen.
So listen, here's a question you need to ask yourself. Are you being used by God to set people free from suffering and sin, just like he used somebody else to set you free from suffering and sin? Now ask yourself, am I being used by God? In other words, another way you can ask yourself is this, am I a co-laborer with Christ in furthering his kingdom? Or are you simply a consumer of the gospel? So ask yourself that question. Somebody look at my life, am I a consumer of the gospel or am I a co-laborer with Christ? Listen carefully. God did not save you. If you are in Christ, if you are a believer in Christ, God did not save you so that you can come just once a week and sit down for a church service and listen to a message and that's your Christian life. Listen, God saved you for way more. He saved you not only so you can have a personal relationship with him, set you free from your past, from your sin, from all that stuff, not only so that you can know him and experience a relationship with him, but just like he sent Moses, he's gonna send you back to help people and set people free from suffering so they can experience what you're experiencing. Can I get an amen to that? And so the question is, hey, what is God calling you to do to further his kingdom? Oh, Omar, you know, I come to church and all, man, I love it being here. But man, listen, I God is not calling me to be involved. God is not calling me to serve. God is not calling me to do anything. Well, listen, if you are in Christ, if you are a believer in Christ, then you are not listening. Because every person who he redeems and sets free from sin and brings out of suffering, he uses to now help other people to being set free from sin as well. In other words, there's not a one person that God has set free into a relationship with him that now he doesn't give him a talent, an ability, a passion, a desire to serve him in any way possible and serve those people who are suffering and need Christ. In fact, we call these spiritual gifts. The scripture calls these spiritual gifts, which is really any talent, any ability, anything that you do, really to serve the Lord, to build up the church, right? And to help people who are suffering escape from that into a loving relationship with God. See, that's what a spiritual gift. This is why in Romans chapter 12, it says having gifts, right? Spiritual gifts is what Paul's referring to, that differ according to the grace given to us. He says, let us use them. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, with passion, and the one who does acts of mercy, listen, with cheerfulness. And so God is calling us, his people, to use the talents and the abilities to further his kingdom, to serve his church, and to be part of helping other people come into a relationship with the Lord. Amen? Now, when we talk about this topic, here's some of the excuses I've heard at times, right? Some people say, well, Omar, you don't understand. Man, I'm just really, really busy. But don't worry, at work, man, I'm a good Christian. You know, at work, you know, I try to represent Christ to the best of my abilities. And to you, I say, God bless you. Amen to that. He should be doing that. If you're a Christ follower, people should know that you're a Christian. Amen? If they don't notice, there's something wrong here, right? But that should not be what you, the excuse to say that, to never serve the Lord. Amen. Other people would say, well, Omar, listen, my family is my first ministry. My family is my first and only ministry. Now, some of us are not gonna like what I'm about to say now. Okay? You ready? Some of us are not gonna like what I'm about to say. Amen. But listen carefully, your family is not your first ministry. In fact, if you look through all the pages of Scripture, you'll never find that statement, your family is your first ministry. You know what your family is? It's your family. And God is calling you to obey the Lord and honor the Lord in your family. Be the father, be the husband that God's calling you to be. You know, be the mom, be the wife that God's calling you to be. Be the son, the daughter that obeys and honors your father and mother. Be the grandfather, grandmother that looks after his grandbabies and teaches them God's word and brings up over the way. Listen, be the person that God's calling you to be in the context of your family, amen? But listen carefully, we can never use our family as an excuse to never serve the Lord and further his kingdom.
Amen.
Imagine if Moses said to God in the middle of that encounter, hey, God, I know you're calling me to do something for you, but, you know, God, I got my family, so I can't do it. That's my first ministry, God. What would we think about Moses? And it's so easy, we use that excuse for that, but the reality is when God calls us to serve him, right, it's strictly for the upbuilding of the church together.
Amen.
So that when we're serving the family, the people of God together, and God's bringing people who are suffering to us, not only are we serving them, but we're upbuilding the church, the kingdom of God together as we serve one another. Amen. In fact, that's why God's word, it says, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers to equip the saints. By the way, the saints are not statues, people who died. Saints in Scripture is any person who's put their faith in Christ, amen?
Amen.
So what we as leaders, what we're called to do is to equip the people of God for the work of the ministry, for the building up of what?
The
body of Christ. It doesn't say to build up only your family. It doesn't say to build up your business. It doesn't build up your hobbies. It says to build up, look around, the body of Christ. And here's the thing, if you're not using any of your talents, any of your abilities, anything that God has given to you to build up the body of Christ, you are not fulfilling your design among the people of God.
Amen.
And so the idea is people are coming here and they're suffering and they're discouraged and they're going through a hard time. As we serve each other, listen, we not only help them, but we build up the body of Christ for the glory of Christ. Can I get an amen to that? And folks, here is what's most encouraging. Write this down as letter A. Is that as you take a step of faith and you start serving God and being used by God for his kingdom, first of all, he promises that God will be with you. Now let's go back to the text and listen to what happened with Moses. And Moses said to God, "Who am I, God, that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Egypt out of the children of Israel out of Egypt?" But he said, "But I will be with who?
You.
And this shall be the sign for you that I've sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain." You see, God had already set aside a specific task to Moses to do for his kingdom. And listen, God was telling Moses, as you take the step of faith and you follow my lead and you begin to serve me, you begin to do what I've asked you to do, Moses, you don't have to worry. I will be with you. And folks, if you look through a scripture, every time God calls someone to do something for his kingdom, he says, "I'm going to be with you every step of the way." Amen. And listen carefully. When you start taking a step and you start serving God and you start furthering his kingdom and you start building up his church, God says, "I'm going to be with you every single moment that you serve me." See, there's something special. Listen, yeah, there's something special that when you serve the Lord like he served you, like Christ served you, there's something special that you start experiencing an aspect of him, his presence, that you couldn't otherwise, right? Because you're identifying with him in that way. And not only that, but write this down, letter B. God will equip you along the way. Now, I wish we can go, you know, read every single verse, but these are long narratives, so I want to encourage you in your time with the Lord throughout the week, read these passages so you can see all the nuances and all the little things. But if you were to read chapter 4, you start seeing how Moses says, I can't do what you're asking me to do, God. And he says, "Listen, throw your staff on the floor." And then when he throws it, he turns into a snake and he tells him, "Pick it up." And he picks it up and it becomes a staff again. He tells him, "Put your hand inside your cloak." He takes it out, it's leprous. Puts it back in, it's gone. And so what God was showing Moses, listen, as you go, you don't need to worry when you start serving and when you start being used by me. I am going to equip you along the way. And listen, the same way with you. You may think, "Oh, I don't know how to serve. I don't know how to be involved." Let me tell you something. When you start serving God and you start upbuilding the church, God is going to equip you along the way. He's going to show you. You know, with me, I remember the first time that I started serving long, long, long ago. My first ministry was in kids ministry. And I remember I was serving with these little kids and I was trying to teach them about God. And honestly, I had no clue how to deal with children. But you know what? When I was with there, God was with me. He started equipping me. And I don't know how it worked, but man, it was an amazing time every time I ministered to those children. And I would walk, go home, I'm thinking, wow, I can't believe this that happened. It was amazing what had took place in kids ministry. Then later on, I was, you know, my pastor at the time asked me if I could lead a small group, a Bible study. And I said, "You know what? I don't know how to lead a Bible study. I've never taught God's word. I don't know how to do that." He said, "Listen, prepare and God will equip you." I remember every Sunday morning I would gather with three or four people, poor people, man. They were, you know, oh boy. But I would prepare the best I could and I would teach them. And it was amazing how even in my inexperience, God started equipping me to do his will, to help people. Like, it was amazing to see how God was equipping you. And listen, child of God, when you start obeying the Lord and do what he's asking you to do, listen, he is going to equip you in whatever role he is calling you. Amen? Amen. And lastly, write this down, letter C. Listen, God will teach you what to say.
Amen.
In fact, listen to what happens next. So Moses said to the Lord, "Oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent either in the past or since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and tongue." In fact, many scholars suggest that Moses had a stuttering problem, like he couldn't speak properly. And then the Lord said to him, "Who made man's mouth? Who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now therefore, go, and I will be with your mouth, and I will teach you what you shall speak." And you gotta love this, because Moses' insecurities, right, and all the excuses that he can come up, he's trying to put all the excuses, you know, before God. And the last one is, hey, I can't speak. I don't know what to say. And God says, who made your mouth, Moses? It was me. I formed your mouth. I will give you the words. You don't have to worry. And listen carefully. In my own life, I experienced this because I remember that when I got called, I felt that God was calling me to the ministry. I was very concerned that I wouldn't know what to say, what to speak. You know, early on, many of you may not know this, but when I was a little boy, as an infant, I had an issue with like tongue. I was talking to my mom earlier this week that they had to do a little procedure to help me speak properly. So early on, that was something that I had to deal with as a little baby. Then when I was growing up, for whatever reason, I got a stuttering problem. And so as a little boy in elementary, I would stutter all the time. And I remember that the kids would make fun of me. I remember very vividly the prettiest girl in school. She would make fun of me. Yeah, because I was stuttering. And then even when I moved here to Miami from Puerto Rico, in Puerto Rico only spoke Spanish. When I got here, you know, I was new language, so I got an accent. So like now, stuttering problem, accent. So, you know, yeah, we laugh. But here's what happens, and you may know this, when you're growing up, you got deep insecurities. You know, deep insecurities. And so when God called me to a ministry, I'm like, I can't do any of this, you know? And then being fully transparent, you know, when as Pastor Rick was retiring and they asked me to step into this role, transparently speaking, my biggest concern was I would tell Lord, I can't speak like Pastor Rick. You know, he's one of the greatest preachers the city has ever known. How can I follow that? I mean, I can't do that. And I'm telling you, God led me to this passage. And God said, Omar, who made your mouth? And listen, by the grace of God, listen, every week I just say, Lord, help me. Help me to do what you call me to do. Teach me what to say, and listen carefully. In whatever role, in whatever task God is calling you, in God's eyes, we're all equal, right? We're all called to do something. Whatever God calls you to do, listen, you don't have to worry. He will be with you. He will equip you, and he will teach you what to say. You don't need to worry about small conversations in guest services or in kids ministry or student. Listen, God's going to teach you what to say at that very moment. Can you praise God today for that? And so listen, here's what God is reminding us today. When we are reminded of the people of Egypt, of Israel who are suffering, we are reminded today that there's people in this city who are suffering. And you know, there are moments that God actually brings those people who are suffering to us. Every single weekend, there's people coming to our church with marriage problems, financial issues, health issues, all these issues with their families, suffering people. And God blesses us with the ability to minister to them as a people of God. And so for example, listen, when you serve in guest services, in parking, listen, people who throughout the week have been rejected and insulted, for the first time, they meet someone who shows them the love and the joy of Christ as you welcome them into church and bring them in to worship God, right? When you serve, for example, in CF Kids, you're teaching little children who have hearts, who are supple, who are still being formed, listen carefully, that there's a God who loves them, that there's a God who created them. Despite of what the world tells them, there's a God who loves them and created them. When you serve in middle school and high school and CF students, listen carefully, you're teaching kids who are trying to figure out what is their identity, that they can find their identity in Christ. When you serve in young adults, 18 to 29, and listen, we need older folks to serve to help this younger generation, amen? Listen, you help them process and not make the mistakes that so many people do in that stage of life. For example, when you serve in production, and worship. Listen, people come in who are suffering and they're so focused on the issues of life by the way you serve in production, by the way you serve in worship, you get to lift their eyes from the focus of their problems to start worshiping the God who loves them and has everything under control. And listen, when you lead a small group, when you're a small group leader, Listen, every week you got people coming into your home, struggling, discouraged, confused, hurting, and you could be used as a small group leader, listen, to simply help them, encourage them, and help them along the way, amen? But you know what? Oftentimes, people come, God brings suffering people to us, but let me tell you something. There are moments where God sends us to leave the church, the building, and go and serve those who are hurting in our city. Amen. And one way we do that is through our small groups. You know, I've told you before, you know, my desire as your pastor is for everyone to be in a group and every group on mission, to go out to the community and to serve the community. You know, a great example is an initiative we just started called Be a Blessing. It's just getting underway. And so our small groups, many of our small groups have committed to go along a specific family for an entire year to love, encourage, support them along the way, especially in the holidays and those key moments in life, right? And so we as a church, we're going to those hurting families and helping them along for an entire year. And so one of the ways we do that is through our small groups. Another way we do that is through Caring for Miami. You know, you may have heard, but Caring for Miami is an initiative of Christ Fellowship. It's a nonprofit organization that is part of Christ Fellowship. So when you hear Caring for Miami, that's not some random organization in the community. No, that is us. That is Christ Fellowship. And what's amazing with Caring for Miami is that we're able to go through in different ways to the people who are hurting in this community to minister to them and to tell them about the gospel of Christ. So for example, our backpack program is when we take food to children at schools with many different schools throughout the city. Kids who, when they go home for the weekend, do not have anything to eat because their parents can't afford to put food on the table. So we go and we take backpacks, bags full of food, so when they can go home, they can eat throughout the weekend until they get back to school and now they have food provided by the schools again. That's what the backpack program does. For example, the mobile dental unit goes to all these under-resourced places in our city and provides free dental work for people who cannot afford it. And especially a big focus of the dental unit now is serving cancer patients. You see, you may not know this, but before you get cancer treatment, you gotta have the right dental work done. So it's sad to say there's many people who never get cancer treatment because they cannot afford their dental work. And so Baptist Hospital refers all these people to us. We're able to minister to them so they can now go, people who are suffering, they can now go get the cancer treatment that they need, and we've shown them the love of Christ. And then the last thing, which we're about to unveil next month, stay tuned for that, it's our mobile market. That we are, which by the way, that's the wrap that's of the actual mobile market. That's gonna go, it's a mobile food market that's gonna go to all the different, I believe, 34, 37 places in the city that are under-resourced, where people are having a hard time going, you know, buying food. And people could go in there and to the mobile market and they can shop for groceries, for fresh produce, get whatever they want, retain their dignity, just like you go to the shops and you go to Publix and you get food, whatever you want. They're gonna be able to walk through this entire mobile market and get all the food that they need so they can go home and feed their families. Isn't that amazing, folks? And so listen, there's so many ways to get involved and to serve the Lord and to serve those people who he's asking us to minister to. And listen, just like the Lord, right, had an encounter with Moses and told him, listen, I have a task for you to do. Just like that, listen, God encounters each and every one of us and says, listen, my child, I saved you from sin. I've saved you from slavery, from suffering. Now I'm calling you to serve my people and build up the body of Christ. And listen, a good example is that of Lewis Riverall. You know, Lewis Riverall, many of you may know him, he has served here at this church since 1987, 36 long years. He served, when I spoke to him, he has served in the choir, when there was a choir with robes. He served in guest services, in the parking. He served as an usher. I think he also served in kids, if I'm not mistaken. He served for so many years. Just recently, he's serving as a small group leader at our church. And he's also serving at Caring for Miami as well. In fact, take a look at his story.
I just feel that that's what Jesus has called us to do in whatever capacity. So I've always found some way to serve, little or big. Hey, my name is Lewis Riverall. I've been retired as an air traffic controller for a little over 2 years, and I started looking for what God wanted me to do next. Saw that Caring for Miami was starting the mobile market. So I came and spoke to Grace, and she said, yeah, we would love to have you. So I said, okay. And then I just kind of started, and as many things go, it steamrolls, and there's more and more to do. And I just feel it's what Jesus has called us to do, is to serve in whatever capacity you can at this moment in your life. God has been so good to us and has given us so much. And what he asked, I think, in return is very little. Here, I'm always happy about doing it because I know what it's going to. I know what it's accomplishing. And whether it's here at CFM or teaching my small group, I see the impact that it makes in the guys in my small group. And when they reach out and ask for prayer requests, you know, it just, I feel like I'm accomplishing something for the Lord. I don't need to do as much as the guy next to me is doing. I just need to do what God has allowed me to do at this time with the skills and talents that he's given me. But we need to do something. If we're just sitting in the pew, I mean, we're just taking and we're not giving. You're not gonna outgive God. He has always provided no matter what has come up. You know, sometimes in ways that we were just like blown away. There are days when, you know, like leading a small group is like, oh man, it's Thursday night, I gotta. But you know, once I get there and we start doing it, it's like, oh, I'm so glad I came. It's amazing how much Caring for Miami accomplishes with the few people really that are the core of Caring for Miami. We could use more people. I mean, we can always use volunteers. You know, they want to grow, they want to accomplish more for Christ, but to accomplish more, we need more people to come out and volunteer. So if you're looking for something to do, check out Caring for Miami.
Amen. Amen. And so listen, let me end with this. There's a passage in scripture about serving the Lord that's so beautiful. In fact, listen to what it says. It says, only fear the Lord and what?
Serve.
Serve. Faithfully with all of your heart. And then listen to what it says next. For what? For consider what great things he has done for you. I love that because it encourages us to stop and reflect of all that God has done for us. Not only how he gave his son to die on the cross for you and for me, but think about your life. Think about what your life would be without Christ. Think where you would be. Think where your family would be. Think of where your children would be. And when you start realizing, my God, God has used me, has done so much for me. And he says, listen, only fear the Lord and serve him faithfully. And so, listen, I don't know what the Lord is asking you to do. He's calling all of us to serve him, to be part of, to further his kingdom. Listen, I know that. Listen, some of us have young families where in a stage of life it's very hard to serve. I get it. There's others who have very demanding jobs. We own a business. You know, some of us are retired, which is easier to serve. Listen, I know that there's certain people that could give more, that could serve more. And I get it. But one thing in common is that we're all saved by Christ. And now he's calling us to serve in whatever way we can. And so that what I want to challenge you is, man, what is God putting in my heart to do? I need to do something. Even if it's
even if it's once a month or just, you know, at times, you know, I got to be able to do something with the gifts that God has given me. Maybe for you, it's guest services. You love to welcome people. Maybe for you, it's kids. You love ministering to little children. But you have a heart to those teenagers, maybe the young adults. Maybe you want to serve. You have skills like productions or worship or small groups or caring for Miami. Maybe you're a dental professional. Maybe you have a heart for these little children with a backpack. You know, whatever the case may be, my thing is, listen, God has called you to serve him. And so I want to challenge you, listen, as your pastor, when you start serving God, there's something that happens that you continue to mature in your relationship with the Lord. And that's what I want for you. And listen, imagine if every single person of our church served the Lord, used the talents and abilities that God has given to us for his kingdom. Imagine where our church would be. So many times churches don't move forward because the people of God don't serve the God who saved them. And so listen, here's what I want to challenge for us to do. Whatever, you know, I want at all campuses, here's what I want to challenge us to do. Take out your phone, if you don't mind. Go and take out your phone. I know you've been watching, you know, you've been, you know, on your phone. So go ahead and take out your phone. We all have them in hand. And even if you're serving right now, it's okay. Just go ahead and scan with your camera app. Go ahead and scan the QR code behind me. Okay? And here's what happens. When you scan that QR code, okay, you're going to get a little link, and you'll see how it'll pop up now in your phone, and this will be a little form that you can fill some general information. You select what ministry you know kind of interests you, and here's what happens. You know, I always like to tell people, when you sign up, you're not committing to life, you're not committing to something. You're just saying, hey, I want more information about this area. And listen, when the people follow up with you, you tell them your situation, you tell them where you're involved, your schedule, and they'll work with you. But the key is that all of us, somehow, some way, we begin to serve the Lord that saved us from sin and suffering. Amen? So I want to give you a few seconds now. At all campuses, go ahead and scan that, and you can start filling it out, and they'll come back and close us, and then we'll worship. Need to fill that out. What will take place is after you submit that form this upcoming week, somebody from that ministry will follow up with you, whether it's Christ Fellowship or someone from Caring for Miami, and then they're gonna, you know, work with you. And whatever you can do, whatever time, listen, we'll work with you. But listen, you will never regret taking time to serve the Lord and further his kingdom. Amen. Amen. Awesome. All right. Well, listen, let's go ahead and stand up together. By the way, as you all stand up at all campuses, on the way out, there's a tables and booths. So if you have more questions, you can also ask questions out there at our ministry expo, right? All right, let's go worship together, and we'll be dismissed.